You know, there's a Seinfeld episode about that.
I've never heard of, I mean, you have an internal catalog of Seinfeld episodes that I've never heard of.
You are listening to From the Dome to Your Home podcast, the Municipal Association's weekly look at legislative action and issues facing cities and towns around the state. I'm your host, Casey Fields.
What a gorgeous day to be recording the podcast with my special guest, Scott Slatton.
You know what I'm going to say about it?
That it's too hot.
That's correct.
Right. You've been glistening all day.
I was
on your walks back and forth to the state house.
I was in the sweat fest over in the lobby this morning, yes.
We are daubing and wiping. We are back to our normal recording day of a Thursday. The Senate is still in session this afternoon. Don't know how long they're going to go. They are right now the full Senate, which means members of the Judiciary Committee that are not on the Finance Committee are hearing subcommittee reports from the subcommittee chairmen and women, well, chairman of Senate Finance on their budget item.
Their version of the budget that they received from the House.
The Senate Finance Committee version of the budget. They will start debating that budget next week, which is, you know, historically, the Senate is the second round after the House finishes theirs. Mm-hmm. And so the full Senate starts that debate. Should take a week, maybe even less than that.
Yeah, probably less.
Yeah.
Because the budget sits a week on the desk.
Which is this week
that mm-hmm. we're concluding today at some point, Thursday. Presumably, senators who are on the Judiciary Committee have reviewed the budget for those things that they're interested in.
Let's hope.
And then they'll get that briefing today on the floor. And then they'll start debates next week. So it'll be, I think, you know, you tell me if I'm wrong, Casey, but in my experience, when the budget in the Senate is always generally sought for amendment by Judiciary Committee members.
Yeah, because
largely because they didn't have a chance.
They didn't get a chance to,
at least directly. I mean, I guess they could have gone to a colleague who's on Senate Finance.
Yes.
And remember, listener, and this may be confusing to listeners.
Oh, well, please do explain.
46 members in the Senate.
Yes.
23 of whom are assigned to the Finance Committee. Mm-hmm. 23 of whom are assigned to the Judiciary Committee.
Well, not really assigned.
Well, they're not assigned, but they sit on. Mm-hmm. So half the body's on Finance, half the body's on Judiciary. Mm-hmm. When you get elected and you are a newcomer to the Senate, you are placed on the Judiciary Committee.
Because of your seniority.
Because of your lack of seniority at that point. And so
members
of Judiciary who are senior and want to move to the Finance Committee are eligible.
If they lobby to do that. No, they don't. Not at all. Not at all. You're all wrong.
We'll fix it. So that's why we're going through this exercise. I'm learning something even today.
The Finance Committee, the Judiciary Committee. As a new senator, you're on the Judiciary Committee.
Right.
As ranking members, you have the choice if there is an opening on Senate Finance. You don't lobby for it. I'll give you this example. This past year, there were two senators that one passed away. The late Senator John Scott from mm-hmm. Richland County, who was on Finance. And Senator Marlon Kempson, Milton's his brother, Marlon Kempson resigned to take a job in the White House that we heard about.
Got back from the White House.
So there were two places. Well, he was not on Finance.
No, he was on Judiciary.
So there was a spot on Finance that opened up mm-hmm. for a Democrat so they could keep the same numbers because the committees have to reflect the Republican-Democrat balance that's in the full Senate.
Right.
So then they go down the list of Democrats that would like to take that place. Do you want to? Do you want to? Do you want to? You don't have to go.
Right.
But the next Democrat that accepted that place was Senator Margie Bright Matthews.
Yes.
So she is now on, she is the lowest on the totem pole of Senate Finance. So now,
And there are there
as
are
we
more,
look,
but there are senior Republicans and senior Democrats on judiciary who choose not to go.
Exactly, because they hold a and senior Democrats that don't
right.
That,
that's what I said.
That choose to stay on judiciary
right.
because they have been on there for so long that
they
you know
a,
are higher up on the you know rank I guess
right.
of seniority
right.
whether it is Democrat or Republican
and have influence in subcommittee chairs and that kind of thing.
Right
yeah.
right
yeah.
so they don't you don't have to when the spot opens
right.
up you just go to the next person
and so
I'll give you an example of what is coming up in this next election that we know will be a consequence. Senator Thomas McElveen from Sumter, he's a Democrat from Sumter,
mm-hmm.
he is on Senate Finance Committee.
Yep.
He is not running again.
Yes.
So that plate, that spot will have to be filled.
Mm-hmm.
And it really depends on what the Senate looks like after this next election.
Senator Nikki Setzler
is a subcommittee chair on Senate Finance and has been on finance for 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
He is not running again. That's another one. Tally, Loftus, those two, senators are not running again
mm-hmm.
and they are on judiciary.
Yep.
So the new people that take their place will go to judiciary. So you have a lot of new faces dealing with issues that are coming in the Judiciary Committee. And once they've been on and spots up, it really is about, you know, places opening up.
And so to come back to where how I started us down this rabbit hole,
mm-hmm.
members of the Judiciary Committee
don't see the budget.
Don't see the budget.
That's right.
Unless they... I guess they could go and sit
sure,
in on
they
subcommittees
sit in
and sit in on the
but
full
this
committee
is the
meetings.
Week, but presumably.
But they don't, unless they ask somebody on finance to put something into the budget
right.
for them during the committee process,
right.
their only opportunity to influence the budget is on the floor.
Right. So this is the week that they get, and I guess other members of finance, if they haven't had a chance to look through the entire budget,
yeah.
Have a chance to read the budget, study it, and draft their amendments and
yes.
get their amendments, which are usually proviso, you know, in the form of a proviso, but an amendment to the budget. They have that chance to draft their amendments and get those on the desk for debate next week.
Well, I know one thing that is, if the Senate's version, the Senate Finance Committee's version of the budget continues forward with this provision in it, which is taking the $600 million that's in the sales tax fund that's extra from the penny because of Act 388. The House has proposed to refund some portion or a big portion of that through property tax credits. Not sure how that'll work or how that'll affect municipal budgets.
Right.
And then the Senate Finance Committee wants to hasten with some of that money the
income tax
moving
cut.
Down
yeah.
of the income tax rate. So we know that those two things will be a part of any conference committee, because there's always a conference committee on the budget, because the two versions diverge from
right.
one another and they end up in conference. So
right.
we'll just have to keep an eye on that. And among the other differences in the two versions of the budget.
We're also going to have to keep in mind that after the Senate adjourns today, the House is already adjourned. We have 9 legislative days. That means that's 3 weeks until the end of the regular session is over on May the 9th. That's 3 days next week, 3 days the next week, and 3 days the next week.
And effectively in the Senate, because they'll only do budget next week, mostly only do budget, I
Most
guess.
Most likely.
Then really effectively we have 6 legislative days
for the
left
Senate, yeah.
for the Senate to do whatever it's going to end up finishing
right.
doing.
And there are there in the context of what we've got left to do and what they want to do, there has been a lot of discussion about the energy reform bills
yeah.
and the utility stuff coming out of Senate Judiciary.
Long meeting in Judiciary, full Judiciary on Tuesday on that very matter again.
They've got one bill, the House bill, on the floor of the Senate on the calendar. It's being contested. I believe it's still being contested by Senator Wes Clymer from York. He had questions in Senate Judiciary about the contents of this mammoth bill.
Yeah. Just the House bill.
Just the House bill. There's a Senate bill 909 that is Senator Tom Davis's bill that is still in Senate Judiciary Committee.
Yeah.
They met on Tuesday, took testimony, which is odd, you know, that's kind of out of the norm for
yeah.
a full committee. heard from the big power.
Big Energy was in attendance.
They talked about the ins and outs of that bill, but ultimately didn't take action on it.
Right.
Maybe using it for an amendment for the House bill that's already passed out and on the floor.
Yeah, based on the conversations that I heard in that meeting on Tuesday, I certainly think it's Senator Davis's intent to use 909 and his amendment, his amended 909 that is a collaboration of the stakeholders.
Right.
I think it's his intent for them to use 909 as a vehicle to replace the House bill.
Right.
And that's what the Senate will work on. And then you'll have to figure out, then you'll, again, end up in a conference committee because of the differences in the two, the House version and the Senate version of the same bill.
As long as they get that bill into a conference committee before May the 9th, it will live on to fight another day in the couple of days that they plan to come back after primaries and runoffs to deal with budget matters.
Because Sonny Dye only addresses just generically bills in conference.
Yes.
Or, yeah.
A conference committee.
Committee, yeah.
Yeah. If a bill is in conference before the end of the day on the 9th,
right,
then you can take that up.
But
after,
it's got to get into conference first.
It has to get into conference.
Right.
So there's that coming up next week. So the time is drawing nigh. That things are kind of wrapping up. Isn't that the truth? speaking of the Senate Judiciary Committee meeting, there were three other bills, among many other things, on that agenda that we are looking at, following, tracking, working on, that they took no action on.
Yeah.
So we're seeing what they're going to do.
We'll see if they meet again.
If they meet again, and if they don't, then they don't.
Or it's entirely likely that they could meet and then not have those other bills that we're following on the agenda.
Right. So we will continue to work
or
on that.
Maybe they are on the agenda like they were this week and they just never get to them because they take up all the, I think that judiciary meeting on Tuesday was 3 hours.
Wow.
Right.
And
it was all Big Energy.
They did, did some confirmation.
Chief Keel and
maybe a reg. And then it was the energy they're working on. And that, right now they started last night, after they came in around 3 after the joint assembly and they started debating the vaccination bill.
Yeah. The anti-vax or the anti compelling of using a novel vaccine as a condition of employment bill.
They started with that. They adopted an amendment about 6:30 or so last night, and they've still got that bill in the mix. They've got this energy bill that I'm sure that won't be an easy.
It's going to be a deliberative discussion.
Yes.
No doubt about it.
So that's kind of where we are. The House has got nothing on their calendar other than some bills that came out of full committee this week.
Yeah.
But now we're seeing lots of amendments on bills that have already crossed over that people are trying to get their bills passed. When their bill hasn't moved, they're turning it into an amendment and slapping it on another bill that seems to be moving.
Yeah, so a perfect example is Senate Bill 1021, which is the reauthorization and extension of the sunset of the Abandoned Buildings Revitalization Tax Credit Bill. That's something that we've been working on. Johnny Nickel on our staff's been working on with the development community. It was a very simple bill. It just extends the sunset 10 years, raises the maximum credit from $500,000 to $700,000. Mm-hmm. Everybody's singing kumbaya. And then an amendment was offered and adopted to that bill dealing with short line railroad tax credits.
Right. So they added the language from House Bill 3737, which is called the Short Line Railroad Modernization Act.
There you go.
That is on the bill. They adopted that bill along with the original language of 1021, and then moved it right on out to full committee.
Do you know of any short line railroads here in South Carolina? Let's do a little early trivia here.
I don't even know.
Non-municipal related.
What is the difference between a short line and a regular railroad?
If John Dillard is listening from CSX, you can text me and correct me later on, John, but A short line railroad is one that doesn't engage in interstate commerce. It doesn't cross state lines.
Okay.
Or it may have it's not a real long distance. So the best example that I can think of is the Spring Maid line.
Okay.
In Lancaster and Chester counties. So they deliver goods from, just within that very short distance in those two counties. And there's other short line railroads across the side. Mr. Producer, I take you for a railroad enthusiast, but are you aware of any? I know there are several around, but I can't think of one off the top of my head besides Palmetto in the Low Country. And of course, railroad trivia was a part of municipal trivia way back at the beginning of the podcast.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Were we doing railroad trivia?
Yeah. Do you remember that question?
I don't.
You don't remember
at all. It. No, I don't. Speaking of trivia, it seems like you really kind of want to get into it.
Well, is that it?
Let's pause this conversation. No, I've got other things to say, but we're going to pause the conversation.
Sorry. Okay.
We'll go back to it.
Inadvertently segued us. Okay.
You decided to go down that railroad.
See our spirit.
Go down the go down this path. So let's go ahead and do the trivia question. Let's throw the listener off, shall we?
Yes. See if they're paying attention.
Lizzie Copeland was not satisfied with last week's, and I'm not really positive she's going to be satisfied with this one, y'all. Lizzie is on our staff, and she is a huge fan of the trivia on the podcast, as is Ashley Callahan.
Really?
Yes.
Well,
she loves the trivia on the pod.
I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah.
Annette Moore from St. George told me this morning that she listens. So
nice.
Shout out to Annette.
What, Scott, on this gorgeous, cool day? What municipalities in South Carolina have field in their name?
Okay.
Have field.
Well, I can
F-I-E-L-D.
I can think of one off the top of my head.
Okay, go ahead.
Springfield.
Yeah.
Let's think here. I'm trying to go through my map. It's not Fairfield. That's a county.
That's a county. That's not a municipality.
Springfield. I don't know. You're going to have to give me a clue. Always got to give me a clue.
The Harley Radden Mayor Ken Durham.
Oh, Edgefield.
Yeah.
Where else? Edgefield, Springfield.
Where is all of my family from?
Chesterfield.
Yes. That's it.
That's it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Chesterfield, Edgefield, and Springfield.
Fantastic. I'm disappointed that
We're all from the town of Macby in Chesterfield County.
That I didn't think of Chesterfield and Edgefield on my own. Lovely places.
Lovely. So
lovely towns.
While we were talking about, to get back to business.
Yes.
We were talking about 1021 that got, that was amended with 3737.
Yeah.
I got another one for you.
Okay.
Okay.
Lay it on me.
All right. Erica Wright on our staff has been working with the city of North Charleston on 4552, which is the military TIF bill. We've talked about that plenty of times on the show.
Everybody knows what that
is. Everybody knows what it does and what it is. That bill has been sitting on the House calendar for about a week.
Yeah.
And there were two in the slot of Senate amendments. It's a House bill.
Right.
It passed the House. It went to the Senate. There was a very minor amendment put on it as far as the effective date.
Correct.
Back to the House. An easy concurrence.
Should be.
Done. But a couple of members of the House saw an opportunity and they took it. And there were today, after a week of waiting, they amended that bill, keeping the original TIF language, but adding language related to property taxes and redevelopment authorities, and from Representative Chris Murphy down in Dorchester.
Right.
And also an amendment from Representative Bill Herb Kurzman from Beaufort.
Hilton Head
Island, that deals with competition among LLC partners for affordable housing developments.
really obscure.
Yeah.
But, it's that time of year.
So that bill will go to the Senate. They will either concur or non-concur. I have got a feeling.
I'll take that bet.
I've got a feeling that bill will go to conference. So
yes.
We will make sure that we follow that and let everybody know what happens with the military tiff.
And, of course, Representative Murphy has told us repeatedly, hey, I'm not trying to mess up your bill.
Right.
I'm not trying to kill your bill.
Right.
But we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, Scott, people have the greatest of intentions.
Yep.
That they just are trying to get their language on there, and they're just trying, they found a vehicle.
Right.
And they're just trying to do it. And then some people just want to murder a bill dead.
Right.
And so they're going to attach language to it that nobody likes.
Yeah.
Most of the time it is people are just trying to get their business done.
That's right.
And they're trying to find somebody that was more successful earlier on in getting their business done. And they are just going to hang on to that.
Yeah.
For dear life.
Well, and this is also in reaction, particularly in the House right now, in reaction to the lack of consideration of House bills that have passed over to the Senate already.
Right.
And the Senate's just not taking them up.
Right.
And so in desperation, if you will, to try and get some momentum, they seek out these opportunities that
That's
you
right.
just mentioned. So.
That's exactly right. It happens every year. That's where the term Christmas tree comes from, because bills that had one subject have multiple ones.
The old-fashioned word for it is bobtailing.
Right.
Which
That's
is,
right.
Which is technically illegal.
Correct.
Under the Constitution, but it happens.
The one subject rule?
Yeah, happens all the time. Happens all the time. Of course, I think the one subject rule gets justified by saying, well, you know, I'm putting my language in the same title.
Right.
Totally different subjects.
It's about property taxes, one's about this and one's about this kind.
So
you
that's,
know,
that's the justification to say, oh, yeah, it is one subject. I don't know.
But there was a flurry of subcommittee and committee meetings this week getting bills out that were by the opposing chamber, trying to move bills now that crossover has come and gone. I expect the subcommittee meetings especially to start to wane.
Yes.
There will just be no time.
Right.
I expect the amendments to start to increase, and maybe some full committee meetings, maybe some full committees aren't going to meet anymore.
Yeah.
Or might meet one more time.
One more time, yeah.
And then things start to slow down and everybody accepts the fate of...
Let me just say,
your legislation.
I'm not condemning bobtailing,
because
we've used it.
I was about to say,
we've had to use it before.
Sure.
I'm not condemning it.
No, it's
just
the fact that it happens.
I'm just telling you that it's technically
not
allowed.
You hate it when it happens to you, but you love it when you're able to do it.
That's right.
I mean,
so make no mistake, listener.
It's the
we're not above bobtailing bill.
It's the old, don't. Be careful of the toes you step on today could be attached to the
fanny
you have to kiss tomorrow.
That's right. That's exactly right.
And I didn't say the word that really goes with that
yes.
saying, because I didn't want to get beeped. Although I would love to start getting beeped on the podcast, because then I feel like my true personality would really shine at that point. And so we're going to have to get a beeper.
You know what the problem though is? Just like on door bumper clear. When those boys get to cussing, it really kind of disrupts the flow
I'm sorry,
of the show.
What did you, what show?
Door Bumper Clear. It's a podcast that I listen to.
Does it have to do with NASCAR?
Yeah, it's stock car. They're stock car spotters who give a breakdown of the race, the previous weekend's race. It's on Dirty Mo Media, Dale Jr.'s podcast and media outfit.
That was a nice plug. Maybe they'll send us a t-shirt.
A DBC t-shirt would be amazing.
Maybe they'll send us a t-shirt. Maybe we should have podcast t-shirts to hand out at annual meeting.
One of the, Brett Griffin, who's one of the spotters on that show, is from Pageland, South Carolina.
Really?
And he talks about it all the time on the show. And you know who knows him?
Who's that?
Who's it? I think he may be related to him, is Pageland Mayor Jason Evans.
I don't know if you knew this or not, but I was on the cover of the Mac B. Pageland,
yes.
Jefferson.
You've said that before.
Ruby, Patrick, phone book.
Maybe as recently as a couple of weeks ago.
I don't know if I've ever said that before, but I was just reminding everybody.
But
I was on the cover of that phone book when I was in middle school.
When you're in a race and you're spotting, your driver is in the process of passing someone,
okay.
right? And so as the spotter, you're speaking into your driver's ear and you're saying door as he approaches the door of
right.
of the car he's spotting, bumper That means he's got his back bumper up to the front bumper of the other car, and then clear. So door, bumper, clear.
That's pretty fascinating. The driver can't see?
No, he can't.
Huh?
I mean, he's got lots of mirrors.
He's driving a car he can't see out of?
Today's stock cars are so... You're basically, drivers are in a cocoon in the seat.
Wow.
And so the headrests are very, they jut out so that your head can't move left and right. And then, of course, you're wearing what's called a Hans device to keep your head from throwing forward if you have a front impact. So your head, you can't really move your head, and the headrests are so thick that it's difficult for you to even really turn your head. And your helmet, when it's on, it kind of has blinders on it to the side.
So besides
your mirrors that kind of cover what you can see.
Right.
If I'm passing somebody, I don't want to have to be looking. If I've got cars all around me, I don't want to have to be looking in my mirrors to pull off that pass. So I'm relying on my spotter.
And where's the spotter? Where is the spotter?
He's up on the roof of the, or on a spotter stand up on the roof of the track.
Like binoculars?
Sometimes they use binoculars, depending on the size of the track. Like when they go to Talladega, which is 2.5 miles around, or Daytona, they have to use, they'll use binoculars. But otherwise, it's just line of sight.
Everybody, thanks for joining us for this week's edition of your NASCAR Education Minute.
Happy to provide that to you. Speaking of Talladega, that's where they are this weekend.
The phone book of
the Talladega Super Speedway. Racing this weekend. And Formula One is in China. The Chinese Grand Prix is this weekend as well.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah.
I will not watch any of those. We've got a soccer and baseball weekend. What? Anything else, Scott, that we need to talk about? It's getting down to the wire here, everybody. So let's... Everybody hang on. Let's stay in communication. We'll be watching out for everything. Read the report. And if you have any questions, please feel free to call us. Call Scott.
You know where we're at.
We'll be right here. Go kicking koalas. Go Vipers. Big sports weekend ahead of us. Everybody take care and have a nice one.
Be sure to follow the Municipal Association's podcasts on Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Audible, Spotify, and SoundCloud. Find the latest from the Municipal Association on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and the Association's website, masc.sc.